And I want to share with you today the story about the shepherd's journey. Last week we read the few verses from Luke chapter 2 that talked about the miraculous birth. And if you remember, we not only shared a few things about how God's providence moved Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem because it had been prophesied that that's where the Messiah would be born, but we talked about how God's providence also worked in our own lives and works in our own life. And we shared something very important that I think it's worth repeating again, that your birth was miraculous as well. You've heard maybe your parents say, well, they weren't planning to have any more children and you were an accident. If you heard that, may you cast that behind you and understand that in God's eyes, you are no accident. We look from the book of Psalms, it talks about that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. God formed you. He knew you before you were ever born. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances were when you were born, that God knew you and God had His hand on you and you're special and you are somebody. And as the psalmist said, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. And then he started thanking God for what a good job he had done. You see, he had a good Christ self-image, I call it, or Christ image, which takes us beyond just self-image. But anyway, today we're going to look at the shepherds. And I want to start out in Luke chapter 2 and read verses 8 and 9. If you'll notice that on the screen with me. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. Now, first of all, I want to talk about why did God, through the angel, appear to the shepherds first? What was so special about them? Well, I think that it had a lot to do with it. Shepherds were considered lowly. They were lower class citizens. Shepherds were near the bottom of the social ladder, if not the bottom. Therefore, they were treated as unclean. Now, this is by the religious crowd, the Jews. They were out in the field, and so they couldn't participate in the ceremonial laws and things like that. So they were considered unclean. They were regarded as liars and thieves. And so they clearly could not even testify in court. So why did the Holy Spirit and God single them out? I believe that one reason, He's showing the religious crowd that God's grace and love is not just for those that try to keep the rules. It's God's grace and love is for everybody. And it doesn't matter what your background is, it doesn't matter where you came from. My friends, you are the apple of God's eye, one verse says in the Bible. You are special in God's sight. It doesn't matter what you've been told. We as parents tried to do a good job in telling you how much we love you, but we let you down miserably. Amen, parents? We can't live up to God's special love. So you have to look beyond what you received as a kid and what you're even receiving now, and you've got to look to what God thinks about you. My friends, that's where the security comes from. But in another idea, or maybe an additional idea, why He came to the shepherds first, that Jesus was the Lamb of God to become the Good Shepherd. Isn't that cool? That He came to shepherds, and He's known in Scripture as the Lamb of God. Talk about using the simple to confound the wise. Back to the screen. Shepherds were out doing their normal duty of beating off the wolves and whatever else they do. And I didn't do a lot of study on them, but I got a little common sense. So they were outwards at night. And here an angel of the Lord appeared. Evidently, it says the glory shone round about him, probably an image of a man brightly lit. And they'd never seen something like this before. And the Bible says here that they were afraid. Have you ever come to a place in your life where you got some terrible news and all of a sudden you got this news of cancer, you got this news of relationship issue, you got this news of getting fired or being laid off or what? Pick it, whatever it is, that brought sudden fear upon you? Anybody ever had that happen? Raise your hand. You that hadn't, I'll preach online next week. No. We've all had that, haven't we? You know what the loving Father is saying to you in those times? And He said to them, well, let's just read it. Verse 10. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all. Would you say all there? All people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. I made you say that word all because I'm telling you, there are erroneous theologies that talk about, called Calvinism, for example, that says only those that are going to believe, are only, God chose some to be saved and some He didn't. Folks, that's not what the Bible says. It says the good news is for all people. What does all mean? All, right? So drop that nonsense if you've had that background training. Okay? All right. What is the key to moving from fear, from being afraid, to peace? I want you to notice they were fearfully, or they were afraid of the unknown. This person showed up they'd never seen before. Many times we find ourselves in unknown situations. We've never been down this road before. We've never had to deal with this particular problem or this issue before, so you're in a state of unknown. And the angel started speaking about the good news of Jesus Christ. He started talking about this Savior. So the antidote for all fear, can you say all fear? You know what the antidote is? It's called love. L-O-V-E. I just happen to know a scripture that says exactly what I just stated. And you see this being played out through the Lord dealing with these shepherds who were afraid. 1 John, look at this. Chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. What a powerful verse, and I'm going to discuss it briefly. The part where it talks about that fear involves punishment, did you know that many that have been raised in church, myself included, we thought that it says fear involves punishment. We thought that when we couldn't get it right, we couldn't overcome a particular sin, or when we messed up, God had the big stick and we're serving an angry God and He's out to punish us for doing those wrong things. Can I tell you that that's not true under the new covenant of grace? Now, are you saying, preacher, there's not consequences for sin? Yes, there's consequences for sin. Hey, you steal, there's a good chance you're going to get caught. Is that a consequence? Is that punishment? Sure it is. Sin has its punishment and its consequences, but it's not God coming and hammering you on the head and saying, oh, I've got to discipline him and punish him to, so I can get him back right again. Folks, I want you to jot this down in your memory or on the paper. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, this was pointing to the new covenant of grace. It says, He is not punishing us for our sins. You know what He did instead of that? He went, the two verses later, look it up, I'm not making this up. Psalm 103, verse 12, it says, He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. He said, you see, it's love that changes us. You say, well, preacher, if that be the case, I'll just go sin and enjoy it now. You see, if you think that, you are not understanding total true grace. The more you understand that God loves you and He's not punishing you for your sins, yes, He's going to let the consequences play its course. Now, I've asked God to remove some consequences. How about y'all? I said, Lord, remove that consequence. But sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. But He's allowing that to run its course sometimes to teach us. But it's not Him chasing you down. You do not serve an angry God. Steve McVeigh's book, Beyond an Angry God, if we don't have copies out there, we will get you one, or you can find it online, Beyond an Angry God. I encourage you to read that book. That was one of the books that helped change my life. Now, I want to get back to this 1 John 4:18 here just a moment. If you notice, it says perfect love casts out fear. Who's perfect love? It's God. It's Jesus Christ. The more you are experiencing the perfect love of God, the more fear begins to diminish. Can you have love and fear at the same time? Sure you can. I believe you can. But he's saying right here, he even says here at the latter part of the verse, if the one who fears is not perfected in love. In other words, we're not growing in grace. We're not keeping our focus on what Jesus has done. We're looking at the circumstances. That's bringing us fear. You see, that's exactly what was happening here in the shepherd's life. I love the next verse. It's cool that the Holy Spirit put verse 19 right after 18. 1 John, look at 4:19. It says, we love because He first loved us. I want you to notice the prayers from your past and from those in church. Almost always, and this is not a bad thing. I think it's not a good thing if you stop there. But we'll end our prayer saying, we love you, Lord. And I want you to love Him. He does. But I don't know if you noticed in my prayer, and I didn't do it on purpose. I've become accustomed to this. I'll say, Lord, we love you, but most importantly, you first loved us. You see, we love, why? Because that's our duty. That's what we're told to do in church. We love because we now are focusing on His love for us and not our love for Him. You focus on His love for you, your love for other people will become apparent and it'll happen naturally without you striving to make it happen. I'm telling you, it's transforming. This is the difference of being led by legalism versus grace, you see. But verse, it says here, it clarifies how to focus on this love, which is going to turn around and cast out the fear that's causing you to be afraid. He said, focus on my love for you first, and then you see it's going to happen. I just think that's interesting that occurred right after where He said, perfect love cast out fear. And I got some news for you. If you don't focus, and you have a choice what you think about. We have a choice what we think about. If we choose to not focus on His love for us during the times that we're fearful or something's going on in our life, my friends, more than likely you're going to continue to walk down that path of fear. And you'll end up not enjoying the freedom of love that God has given you. I see it in my own life. I see it in others' life. If we're walking in fear, we're not walking in Christ's love. Period. Right? Can you have a little bit of both? I think so. But I want more. I don't want to be fearful. I've learned even in business, even in life situations. And Paul said, I have learned to be content. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be. But being content is a part of this understanding that I don't have to walk fearful about anything. Period. If I am, it's my choice. If I know what He's telling us right here, right now, and we can focus on God's love for us and get our focus off of that circumstance, we can turn that thing around in our lives and walk in the midst of the valley, in the deepest part of the valley, you can still walk with your head held high and you can walk in God's love if you choose to do that. And that's exactly what I'm seeing happening here. Now, back to the angel's announcement to the shepherds. Look at this in verse 12. He said, this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared an angel of a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Did you notice the pattern again? He continued to talk to them, the shepherds, about the good news of Jesus Christ. And what is the benefit of getting your focus off of what is causing you fear, getting it onto Jesus Christ through growing in grace, through listening to message, through understanding your identity in Christ. Look at the latter part of the verse. It says, glory to God in highest and on earth peace. And by the way, I believe that's talking about more than just earthly peace. You're not going to see it out there amongst nations all the time. He's talking about an inner peace, an inner joy. If you want to draw people around you who are kind of in the same mentality as you are, my friends, start growing in grace. Start listening to the love of the Father. Make it your purpose in life to understand who He is, first of all, under the new covenant of grace. Now I'll begin to apply that to yourself. See yourself the way God sees you. That's what you call growing in grace. I've committed the rest of my life to keep digging deeper, and God keeps taking us deeper and deeper here about this infinity or the infinite love of grace. As you listen to messages, I mentioned songs, scriptures, through the lens of grace, you'll begin to attract the same mentality for yourself and you'll start attracting others the same way. The opposite is also true. If we want to stay in fear, we want to stay worried, we could have been, the shepherds could have said, well, I don't believe that. I can't help the way I am. I've had people say, I can't help that I'm a worrier. Well, you keep saying that, it's exactly right. we have a choice. What we fill our minds with. We can continue to walk in fear, or we can choose to let love perfect us. Now, look at verse 15 and 16. When the angel had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, I think it's good to talk it up. It's good to have discussions after church sometime or with your family on the way home. Say, what did that preacher say? What did that Bible verse say? That ain't what I was taught. That's okay. I like you to do that. Talk it out. If you take it on face value because your preacher said it, it will not be yours out there when it really counts. But if you grapple with it and you say, well, I'm not sure God's forgiven me. I was taught you got to confess them one at a time. Study it out. I've got tons of verses in the book that the Lord allowed me to write. Study these things out. Make it your own. Don't take my word on it. Don't take grandmama's word on it, your mama, your daddy. You study it out for yourself. And if you land somewhere different, I'll respect you even more. If you tell me, say, preacher, I really did study this out. I really asked the Holy Spirit to teach me, but I don't see it quite that way. And I'll say, that's perfectly okay. You don't hear many preachers say that, by the way. Okay. All right. Wow. Where was I at? Let us go straight to Bethlehem, then see this thing that has happened. This is still in verse 15. Go straight to Bethlehem, see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the babe as he lay in a manger. Wow. Here's the deal. God said it. Said, don't be afraid. Believe what I'm telling you about Jesus. He was pointing to the good news of Jesus. Go see for yourself. We want to complicate things. We'll see a scripture like, there's no fear in love. And we think, well, I don't know about that. I just have a lot of fear in my life. No. Believe Him. Try it out. What have you got to lose? Those that say, well, I've just been a warrior all my life, I can't help it. That's where you're going to stay. What have you got to lose if you really want to get out of that? Okay? Look at verse 17. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. I love this. They just couldn't be quiet about what the angel had told them. I just can't be quiet. I have customers, my employees will know, in my family. Somebody bring up the Lord, they better be ready. I just can't be quiet about it. It gives me an opportunity to start talking about, you know, I used to see God one way, and now I see Him another. And I can't help talk about it. I want to keep growing in God's love and grace so I can maintain an enthusiasm. I'm telling you, this thing of growing in grace is not a sprint, it's a marathon, isn't it? You need to be hearing this message regularly. Don't just take Sunday morning as your only time to grow in grace. Pop in a CD, listen to Steve McVeigh, Joseph Prince. Get out your Bible, say, Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me today, a little deeper than what I saw Him before. Listen to good songs that are, and there are many coming out now that really have good lyrics, as Debbie found some awesome Christmas songs. But I just want to keep growing in grace so I can maintain that enthusiasm and that joy. If fear is the route I'm going to take, it'll not only suck the life out of me, it'll suck the life out of the people around you, won't it? I want to be around positive people, and I want to be one. I certainly have not arrived yet. Notice what happened next, verse 20. What is that? Verse 20. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen, heard and seen, just as had been told them. I believe that our message after the cross is great news. It's good tidings of great joy. Many, I used to think that church was about behavior modification. In other words, that I go to church so the preacher can tell me how to live a better Christian life. If that's your reason for coming to this church, may you stop doing that. It's not my job to teach you how to live, stop this, start that. My job is to point you to Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit will lead you into how to live. Do you see what I'm saying? Many of you have told the preacher, I guarantee if you've been raised in church and he beat you up from the pulpit that day and you said, "Wow, preacher, that hurt, but I needed to hear that. You stomped all over me today." Hey, my job is not to stomp on you. You get enough of that out there in the world, don't you? You get enough of that in your own family that screw up all the time as I do, and you do. We need to hear an encouraging message of Jesus Christ. We need to see the good news about this baby who came through a virgin birth that was sacrificed, that was buried. He took your sins and He buried them on the cross and in the grave. You were raised a new creation in Christ. You say, "Preacher, I don't feel like a new creation in Christ." That doesn't change the reality of who you are. I don't feel like that a lot of times. That's when I've got a choice. Am I going to keep thinking I'm just a nobody, I'm just a loser? After all, that's what they said. Look at my behavior. My goodness. I can keep going down that spiral path in my mind, or I can take those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus Christ, and I can begin to see that I am somebody. How much does God love you? You used to teach your kids this, didn't you? "I love you this much." And they'd throw them little hands out, you remember? How much does God love you? He threw out His hands on a cross just for you. I've heard the old saying that I believe He would have done that if it just been me in the earth. You need to take it that personal. That's how much the Father loves you. That's how much Jesus loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you. And they are all for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? The world comes against you. Sins of others, sins from yourself, whatever it is, that all is coming against you. Listen, you need to look up and say, "God, You're for me." It doesn't matter about all this other stuff. And I'm telling you, there's power in that for living when you begin to believe it and think it and say, "God, you know what? You've got this thing. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm going to quit trying to figure out the outcome." That's where we get into trouble. We figure out what God's going to do. We talked about last week. Here's how He's going to supply that need according to His riches and glory, and we've mapped it out. And 9 times out of 10, He doesn't do it that way, and therefore you're disappointed. You see, He wants you to look to Him to map it out, and you quit trying to figure it out. Saying, "God, I choose to walk in Your peace. I choose to walk in Your love and not be fearful in the midst of this situation, and I trust You, Lord. I don't know how You're going to do it, what You're going to do it, when You're going to do it. But God, You said You would take care of me, and I trust You right now." I believe that communion is a reminder of what we've been talking about today. Many of you, if you were raised in church before communion, you were taught erroneously that you need to examine yourself for sin. They took the scriptures in Corinthians out of context, and it says you need to be cleansed of your sins. So we would lead, I've done this, folks. I would lead the people in a prayer saying, "You know, if you have any unconfessed sins in your life, well, now be a good time." Because after all, the book of Corinthians says, and if you need to examine yourself lest you die. I've had people say, because of that verse, "I didn't partake of communion because I didn't feel like dying right then." You see, we've turned communion into something to bring fear on the people when right the opposite is what God had in mind. And if you want to study that passage out, it's in my book also, or if you don't want to get a copy of the book for free, I'll email you that chapter, whatever I can do to help you get past this thing of fear. That's what I want you to do. It's talking about examining how you're partaking. It does not say and examine yourself for sin. I believe we need to examine the cross. Hey, you want to examine something? Then examine the cross and check it out. Is He perfected? Then guess what? You're perfected. The Bible says, "So as He is, so are we in this world." Some people will call me a heretic for saying something like that. I'm just repeating the Bible. We are, now listen to me carefully, everybody right here. We are as perfected as far as God is concerned and who we are as Jesus Christ Himself. Because the Bible says that we are in Christ. I just want you to think about it. You see, your mind, your fleshly mind is going right to the behaviors. "I ain't got this right, I ain't got that right. I don't think right, I don't do all these things right." Folks, what you do and what you don't do, what you think about and what you don't think about, has nothing to do with who you are in Christ. You want to change your thinking and your start believing the truth about your identity and understanding your who you are in Him, then you'll begin to notice these behaviors begin to change. You'll begin to notice your thinking changes. It is such a powerful thing, and that's what communion is all about. In Luke chapter 22, if you would, look at this. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. The Bible says that He took the bread and He gave thanks and broke it and He gave it to them saying, "This is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." If you remember the story, this was right before Jesus was arrested and He had met with His inner circle, the disciples, and He gathered them around. If you would, take a piece of bread. Now I want you to repeat something with me. We talked about examining how we're partaking of communion. I used to lump the bread and the juice together. It was all about the forgiveness of sin. And I tell you, God has showed me something. A lot of this I learned through Joseph Prince, talking about that the bread is about our body, it's about healing and so much more. I want you to repeat this with me as you hold your bread up in your hand. If you would, say this with me. Thank You, Jesus, for Your broken body. It is for my strength, healing, and provision. Thank You that by Your stripes and by Your beatings I am healed. By faith I believe and receive. Would you partake? Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." Y'all know anything about that new covenant? I've been preaching for 6 years. "In My blood, which is shed for you." If you would repeat this after me also. Thank You for the new covenant of grace. Your blood has bought me forgiveness and washed me from every sin. I thank You that through Your blood I have become the righteousness of God. Thank You for giving me not only eternal life, but for an abundant life right now. One more slide. This will be our benediction and our celebration. Say this with me. Lord, I love You because You first loved me. Y'all, let's do that one more time. Lord, I love You because You first loved me.